Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan. The other voice you will hear shortly is my co-host, Jordan. We are a couple dudes who like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones. As is the case this week, talk a lot about him. In particular, the Obama Deception, his 2009 quote-unquote documentary. We are here on part three of our investigation of said film, and if you're listening to this episode and you haven't listened to the other ones, I recommend please go back and listen to the other ones. It'll help it sort of make sense, but not really all that much, because this documentary doesn't really make sense at all. It's incredibly difficult for me to cut this into episodes, because we just end up jumping off in the middle of one thing, he comes back in the other. There's no segmentation. There's no chapters in this documentary. So it's a real challenge, and I hope you guys are all enjoying it and keeping it's not Whiplash or anything like that. But today we got part three. That's exciting. But before we get to that, I'd like to take a moment to say thank you to some of the people who have signed up and are supporting the show. So we'd like to give a shout out and thank them. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to Leslie. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Leslie. Thank you so much. Also, I'd like to say thank you to Robert. Robert, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Robert. If you'd like to support the show, this show is entirely listener-supported. We have no ads, nor do I ever think, no matter how popular we get, anyone would want to advertise on a show that's just basically about Alex Jones, and then every now and again we talk about space weirdos. But if you'd like to support the show and join up with the folks who are making this possible, you can do so by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking that button, says support the show. We would appreciate it oh so very much. But for now, let's jump back into part three of our coverage of the Obama Deception. If you recall where we left off the last episode, Alex had just got done lying about the Federal Reserve and how it's private. And I explained why that is a load of bullshit and told you how the Federal Reserve System works. Now we'll jump in on a completely different topic that Alex is talking about, but it is just immediately after in the documentary.
I mean, can't be Wall Street has hijacked Washington in broad daylight.
Oh, that's right. We were watching every a documentary. I completely forgot for a while. Yeah.
Status.
Get a haircut!
Every one of his appointments are there to screw the American people.
What do you mean?
They're all there to screw the American people.
They're all there.
Every single one of them is there to screw
it's
the American people.
It's a meaningless statement.
Every single one of his appointments are people who are working to bring down the republic and the constitution of this country.
If I
Secretary
say things confidently,
Timothy
you
Geithner,
will believe
Bilderberg
them.
Group and Trilateral Commission member.
So, Timothy Geithner is, I don't know if he's a member of the Bilderberg Group. That, again, is not a designation that actually exists.
Not a thing.
But he is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Alex doesn't have that up on screen. You can see there. He was a member of the Trilateral Commission, but he left the group when he took a position in the Obama administration.
Of course.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is a Bilderberg and CFR member. She is also married to Trilateral Commission member William Jefferson Clinton.
You mean
all right,
Bill?
Dude, hold on. What? That was unnecessary.
There's no evidence that Hillary is a member of Bilderberg because, again, that's not a real thing.
It's not a thing.
She attended in 1997 when she was first lady, but there's no evidence she attended any other conferences. Hillary is listed as a CFR member on Wikipedia, but there's no citation. In their public membership roles on the Council on Foreign Relations website, Bill and Chelsea Clinton are listed as members of the Council on Foreign Relations, but Hillary is not. The Trilateral Commission's member list from this time is also available online. And Hillary Clinton is not a member or a former member of the Trilateral Commission. That is made up.
So, also, come on, man. His name's
Ambassador
Bill Clinton.
Ambassador to the United
His
Nations.
His name's Bill Clinton.
Susan Rice.
Just call him Bill Clinton.
Commission.
So Susan Rice is a member of the Trilateral Commission. She also left when she joined the Obama administration. Also, why didn't Alex point out that she's also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations? What information is he going off of? Because he's clearly that would help him in his fake argument. She's a member of the CFR, too. Put that on there. He doesn't bring it up.
National Security Advisor General James
Woo.
L. Jones.
Bilderberg, he looks like a bat.
Trilateral Commission and CFR.
So James L. Jones did attend a Bilderberg meeting in 2005, but that doesn't make him a member of the group or anything
right.
like that.
Right.
There's no evidence that he's a member of the CFR, but there is a James R. Jones that is, so maybe Alex mixed that up. Much like Tim Geithner and Susan Rice.
That is exactly like saying that General James L. Jones
he
was
wrote
the
for
bad
the Simpsons.
Guy in...
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I was making a Conan the Barbarian reference.
I thought you were going
much.
James Earl Jones.
God damn it, Dan.
Sorry.
God damn it.
Sorry.
Wait, did you think James Earl Jones was a writer on The Simpsons?
James L. Brooks.
Oh, okay.
Our references just hit each other like cars that hit in a T-bone.
Yeah.
So there's no evidence he's a member of CFR. Like I said, James R. Jones. Much like Tim Geithner and Susan Rice, Jones was previously a member of the Trilateral Commission, but left the position when he became Obama's National Security Advisor or before.
Deputy National Security Advisor Thomas Donilon, Trilateral Commission, CFR.
So he says Trilateral
Wait,
Commission
but he doesn't
CFR.
Have it
it's
on, the,
on the
he doesn't have it
no,
on the screen.
The card is wrong. I don't know. Anyway, Thomas Donilon was
Who made this shit?
Thomas Donilon was definitely a member of the CFR. Not sure if he was a Trilateral Commission member. He was formerly one. Again, formerly one. I don't think it means anything, though. Like I say, I don't know. My notes are a mess. I don't know why. I start editorializing at a certain point. It's like, I read this sentence like I think it's important, but it's just, I don't think this means anything.
How many more minutes before we just get all of your notes saying,
fuck this.
No. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
No, there is going to be a point where I'm like, fuck this. This documentary doesn't mean anything. Here's what I want to talk about. So look forward to that.
All right.
But this is the closest of all these people that Alex ends up listing.
Yeah.
It's closest to real. Because he was a member of the CFR and he was a member of Trilateral Commission. But at the same time, he messed up the visual card.
The title card is trouble.
Special State Department Envoy.
Boo!
Bilderberg. Trilateral Commission.
Fuck that
CFR.
Guy!
So Henry
Kissinger, my ass.
Henry Kissinger probably was all of those things. There's some debate whether or not he's still a member of the CFR.
Yeah.
There's talk that he had left. It's unclear to me at this point. But the problem is that he wasn't part of the Obama administration. He wasn't special envoy.
Not at all.
You can find a list of all of Obama's special envoys. Kissinger wasn't one of them. He wasn't a part of the Obama administration at all.
Why even throw Kissinger in there?
Like, because he's one of his big bad guys.
Yeah, I know, but Kissinger has so many other big bad guy things about him. Like, he is genuinely evil.
Because Alex
like you
doesn't
could do
care
a
about
laundry list of his evil
He doesn't
shit.
Care about those things. They were done to brown people in third world countries.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a shit about that.
Fair enough.
Anyway.
But God, you could just, like, why not, why, like, get rid of a couple of these guys. Like, okay, get rid of Susan Rice. You don't need her. Put another title card of the evil shit that Kissinger has
but
done.
But because she's the like person who went to the UN.
She's
UN.
The UN.
It's important
why,
that he points out that
the UN, has to
is,
be evil. Yeah. I gotcha.
Chairman, Economic Recovery Committee, Paul Volcker, Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations.
This is the first one that Alex is almost entirely right about. He is all three of those things.
Oh, okay, cool.
Absolutely. At some point in his life, he was all three of those things. But why doesn't Alex point out that he was a founding member of the Trilateral Commission?
Oh, that seems really important.
Seems like he's like, hey.
That seems like number one.
He's one of the first.
He should have been the first one on this whole fucking list.
Well, Chairman of Economic Recovery Committee isn't as impressive as Secretary of State.
Yeah. But okay. So if I'm organizing this, mm-hmm. I want founding member first.
Well,
and then that builds up as you get more cachet
the
throughout the rest of them.
If the Trilateral Commission is evil, he was one of the first people in it.
Exactly.
He's the most evil.
Exactly. So you throw him in there up top, and then you're like, oh, and see? He's in like this Economic Recovery Committee. That doesn't sound too evil. You know, that doesn't sound like he has too much power. And then because he founded the thing, then you start bringing in Susan Rice. Oh, she's the ambassador to the UN. That's not that
he
big a deal,
also,
though. She's just an ambassador. And then you bring in Tim Geithner, and you're like, oh, shit, this is the guy. And then you bring it back. You punch it through, man.
He was also a former head of chairman of the Federal Reserve. And
see?
In his role as the economic recovery chairperson, He felt that Tim Geithner was being real fucking rude to him and keeping him isolated from meetings, which I would think Alex would be super thrilled about. The idea that Tim Geithner's like, no, 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 Paul Volcker, get out of here.
Yeah, but petty squabbles aren't really Alex's
thing. He loves palace intrigue.
The Director of National Intelligence, Admiral Dennis C. Blair, Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, CFR.
Wait, did he say Director of
you
National Intelligence?
The screen,
on the screen says Director of National Security.
That's a problem.
All right.
So the issue is
you know you're not making this live, right?
Yeah.
Like he knows he's not.
He basically
live.
Was. I mean, he rushed this to print so fast.
Yeah, but I mean, you could at least watch it one time before you throw it out.
Do QA work at all? This is insane. The voiceover is correct. He was the Director of National Intelligence. The screen is wrong. Director of National Security is the guy we talked about earlier, James L. Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is sloppy as fuck.
Darth Vader.
Dennis Blair is not a member of the CFR. He was a former member of the Trilateral Commission, and there's no evidence he's ever been to Bilderberg.
Secretary of Defense Robert Gates.
Boo!
Bilderberg Group.
Trilateral fuck that
Commission,
guy!
CFR.
Boo!
Robert Gates was appointed by Bush. He's a member of the CFR. He was not a member of the Trilateral Commission. The only source I can find that says he was a Bilderberg attendee is a post on the New American website that says, quote, not on the public list, but spotted at the conference, according to unconfirmed reports from correspondents in St. Mortiz, was Secretary of Defense Robert Gates.
Nothing more reliable than unconfirmed reports.
The word correspondence is a hyperlink that leads to an InfoWars story that says, quote, InfoWars reporters Aaron Dykes and Paul Joseph Watson have received confirmation from an inside source that five other influential people who are not named on the official attendee list are in attendance at Bilderberg Conference 2011.
So even in their five other people, they're not named.
There's no proof. There's no documentation. Just a supposed inside source who is obviously Daniel Estulin. Plus, this is from 2011, 2 years after this documentary came out. So,
oh boy.
Who gives a shit?
These guys.
Deputy Secretary of State James Steinberg, Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, CFR.
James Steinberg is a CFR member, and he's participated in multiple Bilderberg conferences, that's for damn sure. He is a former member of the Trilateral Commission, but left before joining the Obama administration.
Right.
State Department Special Envoy Richard Haass, Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, and President of the CFR.
Haass was a special envoy to Northern Ireland from 2001 to 2003. But
it doesn't get more powerful than the special envoy to Northern Ireland.
But he had no position in the Obama administration. He couldn't be the president of the CFR and even endorse Obama because the group takes a firmly anti-partisan position. He's a member of the Trilateral Commission. The Hill reported that Haass was at Bilderberg in 2005, but who gives a shit? Alex is lying about him having a position in the Obama administration,
yeah,
so none of the rest of this
so
matters.
So who gives a fuck?
Yeah, who cares?
Obama presidential advisor Alan Greenspan. Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, CFR.
Guy.
Alan Greenspan is a member of the CFR. He's not a member of the Trilateral Commission. He apparently attended Bilderberg in 2002. More importantly, though, he wasn't one of Obama's advisors. On the campaign trail, Obama was super critical of Greenspan's policies as the chairman of the Federal Reserve
until 2006. I can't think of any. Wait, why?
Because he'd presided over the dot-com bubble.
Come
on. Period where the groundwork needed to create the subprime mortgage crisis was created.
Are you mad at Ayn Rand?
There's so many articles you can find online about Obama being fucking harshly critical of Alan Greenspan.
No. Nobody could criticize Alan Greenspan.
Even if he were an advisor for Obama, shouldn't Alex like that? Alan Greenspan was a free market kind of guy who hated raising taxes and loved the absence of government regulation.
Yeah.
That should be like.
Again, Ayn Rand.
If there is someone who should run the Fed that Alex likes, it would be Alan Greenspan.
Yep.
He should love the idea that he's an advisor for Obama, but he wasn't.
Yeah, but here's the thing. All right. Alan Greenspan, sure. He did all the stuff that Alex wants him to do, but that stuff turned out bad.
Oh, sure.
So Alan Greenspan is bad.
Bad, bad. He's a bad boy.
Right. But not the things that he believes that he then followed up on that made everything turn bad.
We're running into a little bit of an issue with letting the outcome dictate your principles.
Exactly.
And how that's not a good idea.
No, it's a bad idea.
Because you look like a fucking idiot.
You're an idiot.
State Department Special Envoy Richard C. Holbrook, Bilderberg, Trilateral, CFR.
Are we just listing names?
Yep. Finally, Alex is right about someone being a Bilderberg member, because Richard...
Oh, he's on the steering committee.
He's on the steering committee.
Hey, how about that?
Hey,
bring
out the clowns.
Oh, shit, there was just a lot of balloons dropped in
here.
He
struck out like 10 times, but then he got one right. He left.
Casey at the bat all over again.
He left the Trilateral Committee by this point, and he's been a CFR member since at least 2003. I know that because the CFR, which is so fucking secretive, that they put out a press release announcing his membership, complete with a dateline at the top and the contact information of the Director of Communications for the Council of Foreign Relations. Obama appointed him as a, quote, special representative for Afghanistan and Pakistan, where he advocated for such nefarious globalist plots as focusing on, quote, boosting the agriculture sector in Afghanistan. Holbrook is a lifelong diplomat, so the post really makes sense. I'm not going to argue with it. Holbrook was ultimately ineffective in his position, and he died about a year later after he was put in the post. His last words to his doctor were, this was kind of joking around with the doctor,
okay,
but it's so adorable.
Okay.
That this was, these were all his right. last words. He said to the doctor, quote, you've got to end this war in Afghanistan. I love that.
That's pretty great. You get a lot of points if your last words are that fucking great.
Sure. Yeah. Or Ernest P. Worrell, his last words. Don't tell the kids not to smoke.
Exactly.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Using your last words to try and make the world better.
Yeah, it's fun.
And the list goes on and on.
Oh, does it? That was That's it. That's his list. That was 13 people, and there's serious problems with that list. Three of the people that he listed in that group are not even in the Obama administration at all.
Right. So
Alex
that brings
is claiming
us down to
that
10.
They are.
That brings us down to 10.
One of them is given the wrong title on screen, so right. Alex doesn't know what his job is.
That gives us 9.
One of them was appointed by Bush.
Okay, so that gives us 8.
If you count the people who had left the Trilateral Commission as Alex being wrong, then he really only got one of these people's description right at all, and that's Paul Volcker, and he didn't even mention that he was the founding member of the Trilateral Commission. So, like, I don't understand. Like, this list is full of holes.
Yeah, but the Volcker deception would have been terrible.
Also, please consider this is 13 people. It wasn't even Obama's entire cabinet. It was just 13 people cherry-picked out of the hundreds that Obama had on his team. Even if you'd been absolutely correct about each and every one of these people being members of all three of his shadowy organizations, what the fuck does that prove? It's just a drop in the ocean. There's 19 people in Obama's main cabinet, the main positions in his cabinet. Alex didn't mention any of them, and they aren't members of any of those groups. So, like, you could play this game every single direction if you want to. Like, I could flash up on screen, Eric Holder, not member of any of these groups.
Right.
Attorney General.
That wouldn't help.
No, I could do...
That would be a bad documentary.
Joe Biden, Vice President, not member of any of these groups.
That would... Now,
Hilda Solis, Labor Secretary, not member of any of these groups.
Now I'm more interested in an hour and a half long documentary that
Me
is
doing
just
that voice.
That is just who is and is not in Obama's cabinet,
right.
Is a member of those groups, and we're going to start alphabetically with the entire population of the world.
Let's do it. All right, guys, we'll be back in a minute.
Aaron Aronson,
oh boy.
Not a member of these groups.
Aaron Rodgers, CFR. this is shit. This is shit.
This is terrible.
This is bad work.
Oh, that's bad.
Even if Barack Obama were the most wonderful person in the world, he was groomed and brought to power by the global elite to carry out their agenda.
Citation needed.
Small point. Yeah. You haven't proved that.
Yeah.
You haven't, so far. You have proven nothing close to that.
No.
Humanity must look past Obama and realize that presidents come and go, but the shadow government and their program of global enslavement continues.
How could people be so stupid and gullible to believe a bunch of political...
Get up!
So people who voted for Obama were trying to express, I think, first of all, something worthwhile. The hatred for Bush, Cheney, the neocons, the desire to punish the Republicans for their adventures, their police state, and their economic depression. The second question was on the economy. people felt that Bush was selling them down the river into a world depression. He is, of course, the new Herbert Hoover in that regard. So they were trying to get something different from that.
Okay.
The tragedy, of course, is, and this is really why Obama was groomed and prepared over a period of almost 30 years
now. What?
That Obama is there to frustrate and to deceive all of those hopes. Obama is a cruel hoax.
So, look, this is some real fucking bullshit, and I think this is low-key one of the worst things that's said in this entire documentary, because what Webster Tarpley is doing in that clip that we just listened to is suggesting that all of the reasons that people liked Obama trace back to negatives about the Republicans, as opposed to positives about Obama and some of the progressive policies he was indicating towards. There's something very strange about Alex's world and the politics of everyone around him that's so profoundly self-centered that it can't see any action or belief outside of its relation to themselves. Tons of people excited about the prospect of Obama and liberal policies he discussed on the campaign trail are minimized into people who were just expressing their anger at Bush, which is a positive to Tarpley, I guess. Everything that's good or bad is a response to what their side is doing. What this in essence does is rob the left, or any really anyone who's not in their weird patriot conspiracy tip, of any agency. You don't really believe in gun control. You're just responding to how much we love guns. It's that same dumb thinking that really is a dead end. It's really, really fucking stupid. It's childish and self-centered to a level that, like, it's painful to some extent. Like, cause I would never think, like, oh, you conservatives are just mad that I have a lip ring. I don't have a lip ring. But if I did, they go like,
right.
I have a mohawk and a lip ring and you old fuddy-duddies, you just don't like my coolness.
Right.
But that is the equivalent of what they're expressing. Like, Webster Tarpley literally said that the people who support Obama are expressing something positive, which is a hatred of Bush.
Yes.
It's like, yes, they do hate Bush, but that's not what they're expressing. You are looking at only the negatives applied to you as opposed to the positives that exist externally, because were you to recognize those for a second, you would have to either debate those positive points or admit that you don't give a shit and ignore those because you're a dumb fuck.
I am so, so happy that you watched this beforehand, listen to that, and then spent time writing an eloquent response.
Oh, well.
Because half
of what I just said was the written part, and the other part was a little bit off the dome.
Right. But the point being, that is exactly what I thought immediately.
Mm.
But because I'm in the moment.
You're gonna screech.
I was just gonna screech.
Fuck you, old man.
I was just gonna screech.
Yeah.
Like a pterodactyl came back to life.
No, but
so
it is,
you are absolutely.
Thank you.
100% correct on all fronts. Thank you so much for avoiding me just going like, fuck you!
I think there's value.
You're fucking wrong!
I think there's value in that response because it is
how I, it's insane!
It's how I feel. It's how I feel. But at the same time, like really hitting the point of what he's expressing is so important because it really does underlie so much of this. Like when we talk about Alex Jones, I think I don't deal with that, but I do. I've felt that in the back of my head for a really long time, and it took something as overt as what Webster Tarpley just said to really like, oh, that's what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's sort of a hand revealing moment to some extent.
But it's the logical endpoint of that, wake up sheeple point. Or thought process.
I mean, the clip right before this was Salenti calling everybody stupid.
Exactly.
So yeah.
Like the idea is that everybody who believes exactly what I say, the way I say it,
is a
person.
Yeah.
And everybody else is not awake.
Well,
none of you, you're all reacting to what's real, which is what I'm saying.
Yep.
You are not capable of agency yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that you'll ever be capable of agency is if you agree with me.
Yeah.
And until then, you are only reacting the way that they want you to.
Right.
To me.
The way the Jews have told you to.
Yeah, exactly.
More or less.
I mean, exactly.
When you cut through the sort of layers of veneer, that's
only person.
Right.
You
us,
are all nothing.
Us white Anglo-Saxon Protestant straight men are the only people who are really doing anything.
Yes.
And all of you other people are tricked
just reacting
by
in our wake.
Bankers.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's a kernel of it that's very similar. Like when I was watching this, I was thinking about that. It's very similar to how the ancient alien stuff, like the explanations of aliens creating the pyramids and stuff like that. all that really does is take agency away from non-white people in the past.
Yeah.
Like, no one says that aliens built the Parthenon
right.
or anything like that. No one says anything like that. They're like, right. oh yeah, those Greeks knew how to do that. Yeah, that
right,
makes
right,
sense.
Right.
You know, and it's the same sort of kernel. It's this idea of like, those who aren't in my clique, my in-group or whatever, I don't believe them to be capable of positive thought.
Right.
Only reactive thought. Oh, sure. Those Egyptians were able to be used at the direction of the aliens.
Yeah.
They lugged the blocks, which would be the equivalent of Webster Tarpley saying these people were lugged. The lugging of bricks around would be the equivalent of voting for Obama.
Right.
You know, there is that. And, it's like,
and he's never seen Fitzcarraldo, so he doesn't even know that you can take a boat over a mountain.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's a bummer. You look at stuff like that, and you're just like, it's hard to look at that and be like, oh, you're a great historian. It's really tough to hear that mentality. But again, this is why Webster Tarpley is so interesting to me. Like,
yeah.
why was he able to break the conditioning, but why was he able to come out and be like, Trump is trying to institute fascism,
yeah.
and part of it is a real failure of Ron Paul and the fake
yeah.
Principled libertarianism that has been around forever. Like, why did he get there in early 2016? And also, why does he still have a show on the Genesis Communications Network?
Wait, he still does?
Yeah, you bet.
What, in 2018?
Yeah, it's, I mean.
Oh, we gotta get him on our show.
It's a weekly show.
We gotta give him a call.
But why is he still
calling in to Webster Tarpley?
Why is Ted Anderson still paying him? Like, it seems to me maybe Ted Anderson isn't like all, I mean, I know he was a big Ron Paul
guy. Why is Shepard Smith still on Fox News? Nobody knows. Everybody's fine with
that's
it.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah, whatever it is we're gonna do, we're
gonna
fair.
Do. Yeah. Okay. So anyway.
Bogus sham. He's an absolute denial of everything that you'd expect from an American president.
It is very disturbing to see well-meaning people falling for high-tech propaganda over and over again.
Tell me about
high-tech
it,
propaganda, you say.
I think we both had a very similar reaction to that.
9/11. The American people en masse were swept into a mob psychology, irrationally throwing their common sense to the wind and doing whatever the administration told them to. The general public eventually caught on to the fact that George W. Bush was a deceitful thug and that the...
Fair enough, but like the implication that he's trying to make that he's leaving unsaid is, except me and my buddies.
Yeah, exactly.
We're smart enough to see through it.
I don't like whenever they do get
That's a
something.
Brag.
I don't like whenever they get something right in the wrong way. It bums me out.
I don't think that I was part of like protest communities around that time
right.
on the left. I don't think anybody didn't know that Bush was a fucking thug.
Oh, yeah, no, we all figured that
out. Like, the 2000 election was heartbreaking. That was before 9/11.
Yeah.
Like, that was...
Also, it was stolen.
Yeah.
No, like, literally stolen.
All that happened pre-9/11. Like, it's not like people didn't understand the game before 9/11, but people came together after it because, of course you do, you're fucking humans.
Yeah.
So.
The economy was in free fall. In the midst of it all, was there, speaking out against the abuse of the people at the hands of the establishment.
Wait, in 2000?
Wait. So if, I mean,
so
no.
So we're jumping years apart, right?
Of course, but that also undercuts his point if he came out of nowhere. That sort of idea. If like, when, like, after 9/11, you know, Bush is trying to do all this
Obama.
Shit, but there was Obama saying, no, sir.
What is your...
So then you have to have been aware of him beforehand.
What is your window for coming out of nowhere? You know?
It's very small.
Like it has to be coming onto the scene out of nowhere.
I see.
It
requires surprise.
Okay, it's like when Wayne Gretzky got to the Hall of Fame, nobody's like, Wayne Gretzky came here out of nowhere.
No.
Like, it was literally.
But like when Jethro Tull won that Grammy.
Guy, exactly. Now that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Yeah. No one
so
saw that shit
difference.
Coming. That's the difference.
Okay. I think we nailed it.
Now, Obama, the two
the
greatest analogies there's ever
the
been.
The United States was no longer in the hands of madmen. But unfortunately for humanity, this was another vicious fraud.
I want to like the guy.
I bet you do.
Gently. He's
get a haircut.
He seems to be a man of peace.
2 seconds away from saying articulate.
But you know what? Is that a tree is really, really measured by the quality of its fruit.
I'm sick of that metaphor.
Nope.
Put away all the flowery words, when you put away all the rhetoric, when you put away all the rock and roll music.
Ah.
I'm a
what
racist.
What he does
well,
is
wait,
what's
what?
Important for the people of the
oh,
country,
okay.
Starting with the truth.
Obama is notoriously a liar. He promised that he would get out of Iraq, I think within 16 months at some point.
He's been president for 2 months!
The Scotsman, that he wouldn't be bound by those promises, and sure enough, he's now not going to be bound by those promises.
What about the Dutchman?
So, real quick, what did he say?
What about the Dutchman?
Mr. Richards. So the interview Webster Tarpley is talking about there isn't in the Scotsman. It was actually on the BBC, a show called Hard Talk. But honestly, who cares? Because everyone's lying about what Obama actually said about bringing troops home during the campaign.
Of course.
From his official website, quote, I'd go to the Wayback Machine to gather this one.
Yeah.
Quote, Barack Obama believes we must be as careful getting out of Iraq as we were careless getting in. Immediately upon taking office, Obama will give his Secretary of Defense and military commanders a new mission in Iraq, ending the war. The removal of the troops will be responsible and phased, directed by military commanders on the ground, and done in consultation with the Iraqi government. Military experts believe we can safely redeploy combat brigades from Iraq at a pace of 1 to 2 brigades per month. That would remove all of them in 16 months. That's where the 16-month number comes from, not from a promise to bring everyone home within that time period, but that it was assessment that what military experts believed was possible to do responsibly.
Gotcha. An estimation of both the most expedient and the most responsible way of
yes,
doing so.
Absolutely.
Which, by any estimation, was
maybe a little ambitious.
A little ambitious and didn't happen.
And then when he did remove all the troops, it ended up...
Oh, how dare you remove all those troops, Obama! You're ruining this fucking country!
Well,
you can't remove all those troops!
And then it left a power vacuum that ISIS stepped in. You had to
yeah,
send more troops in. So, and that's all unfortunate,
yeah,
but there's no way for Alex to know any of that stuff now,
right,
so we leave that aside. So...
it's a good thing that... Wait. It is fascinating. It is fascinating to watch this documentary now and remember we're still there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right?
It's not great.
Like, this seems so far in the past.
It is.
This seems so far in
the
past.
It's almost a decade ago he made this film.
I know.
Yeah.
And we're still fucking there.
Yeah, it's a mess.
And because we've been there for essentially my entire adult life.
Yeah.
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 It's almost in the background all the time. Like, behind all of the
I mean,
Trump
what were you,
news.
16 when the Iraq War started? Something like
something
that?
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. You're 3 years older than me. Why are we pretending that there's this massive.
No, I was just
difference?
Trying to do the math.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I wasn't saying that, like, as a dismissive.
Oh, yeah.
Just, I remember that I was 19. I graduated high school already.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only reason I.
Right, right.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't participate in any of these anti-war protests because
right,
I was still in high school.
I was in my in-between year of high school and college, which most people use to backpack Europe, and
your
I
gap year.
Did drugs
yeah,
in a basement.
That is eerily close.
Yeah. Did a lot of drugs in a basement and also did some protesting.
but yeah.
Not wasted time.
It's amazing that regardless of all the palace intrigue that we read about with Trump every fucking day, we're still doing this.
Yeah.
We're still fucking doing it.
It's a real, it's a sobering realization.
I mean, to the point where in the 2018 election, in the 2016 election, nobody ran on ending the war in Iraq.
I think a lot of people paid lip service.
We just assumed we're still going to be doing this till we die.
I think that, I don't know, if you talk about the presidents, I think they were throwing bigger shit at each other.
Right.
To some extent. But then, you know, maybe some down ballot people brought it up. But.
I'm amazed.
Be that as it may, I agree with you.
It's sobering and depressing.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
It's not something that we would like to be the case, but there's more important things to talk about in terms of what he said there, because he was talking about Samantha Power doing this interview, which he said was in the Scotsman, but it was actually on BBC.
Right.
Hard Talk. So Samantha Power was an advisor for the Obama campaign in 2008. In her Hard Talk interview, she expressed doubts that Obama could realistically withdraw the troops in the 16-month time frame. She clarified that Obama would take all the advice available and would work on making the best path forward once he was in office and knew all the variables, stressing that the plans that he's able to make as a candidate and a senator are not the same as what he would be able to make once
right,
he's the president.
Right, right.
And it would be foolish to make a plan in March 2008 when the situation may change by January 2009.
Exactly.
So she was just basically clarifying.
Not may, will.
Yeah. She was just clarifying, and she said that the 16-month window reflected a best-case scenario, which I think is a fair way to put it.
Yeah.
Even from what Obama promised.
You know,
like, I don't think that that's unfair at all. But interestingly, based on the fact that Webster Tarpley mentions that interview incorrectly as Power doing an interview with the Scotsman, I know that he knows that she also was no longer with the Obama campaign, having resigned in March 2008, in the immediate aftermath of her interview with the Scotsman. The problem was that she said this, quote, "We fucked up in Ohio. In Ohio, they're obsessed, and Hillary is she's going to town with it, because she knows Ohio's the only place that she can win. She's a monster, too. That's off the record. She's stooping to anything. If you're poor, and she's telling you some story about Obama is going to take your job away, maybe it'll be more effective. The amount of deceit she's put forward is really unattractive."
So she was, I did not know that Obama hired Scaramucci as well.
She went off script with the Scotsman, and in the immediate...
This is off the record. You know we have to agree to that before... Yeah.
You can't just throw that out there.
You know you can't just say it's off the record.
Yeah.
So, also, we're the Scotsman. We don't give a shit if you say it's off the record.
Right.
We're not from there.
No. So she obviously had some fallout from this and had to resign from the campaign, which Tarpley has to know if he's referencing the Scotsman.
If he's referencing the Scotsman.
So he already knows that this is something that happened in March 2008, presumably 9-10 months before this interview happened. He's referencing an interview that was done on a different medium than he's reporting, which is just her clarifying a misconception about the position that Obama had. And he knows that immediately, almost immediately after both of these interviews, because they were pretty close together, she ended up leaving the campaign.
Right.
So I rate this as utter bullshit.
Yeah.
That's complete bullshit.
Agreed.
A pledged in hundreds of speeches and interviews that within 6 months of being elected, he was going to bring our troops home from Iraq.
It hasn't been six months since he's been elected yet.
No, and he didn't say that. If he had said that, that's the easiest clip for Alex to prove. Pull it up.
Yeah,
play the
throw
clip
it on
of him
there.
Saying that.
Put it in the
he
documentary.
Didn't commit
It'd be
to
a great
home
commit.
People ever, after 6 months.
Yeah.
Was inaugurated, the story changed. Now he said that they would look at bringing some of the troops home in 16 months. 2 weeks later, his story had changed again. Now the administration...
It didn't change. It reflected the advice of the people who he had hired to advise him in those capacities.
Right.
Would look at bringing the troops home
you know
in 23
what's fun?
Months.
You know what's fun about the Washington Post?
This article that Alex has up on screen.
Right. So Iraq withdrawal, Obama weighs 23-month plan. He's highlighted 23 months.
Yeah.
But up a little bit higher, you see Blagojevich's brother asked for a donation before a Senate appointment.
Blago.
Oh, man. Those were the days, right?
Sure were.
Back when Blagojevich was fucking everything up, those were the days.
Blago.
Oh, fuck you, Blagojevich.
Well, Obama's already fudging. He's fudged since day one in this election, where he first said, "We're getting out."
Show me Willie Nelson.
Timetable.
No whammies. No whammies.
To him. They're understanding that and he ain't going to be able to get him out because people more powerful than him got us in.
When he first.
Oh, I wanted Willie Nelson to nod.
No,
I wanted at least one nod.
No
from
more
Willie.
Oh. But that doesn't mean anything, what he's saying. But also I love the, just because I'm a Lovecraft fan, I love the idea of like, he can't take them out because more powerful people brought them in.
The elder ones?
No, that reminds me, do you know the case of Charles Dexter Ward?
No, I don't.
The, one of Lovecraft's books?
No, well, I know you've referenced it and I still haven't read it.
One of the things in it is,
to spite you.
Well, it has to do with necromancy to an extent, being able to raise the dead.
I know what necromancy
is. I understand
this
for the listener.
How dare you?
But one of the rules of it is don't bring up something you can't bring back down. Like, don't raise a more powerful spirit than you're able to handle.
Right.
Because that'll just fuck you up.
Right.
That sort of thing. And that's all I hear there is just like, did you read Lovecraft? I know you didn't. Sort of the same idea.
They could have read Hellblazer.
That's possible. That's possible. Also, in that, in the case of Charles Dexter Ward, there's some little subtle comedy of, Charles Dexter Ward bringing, back to life Benjamin Franklin to get some secrets from him.
Oh,
but he's not
fun.
Called Benjamin Franklin. You have to read between the lines.
Oh, that's fun.
Figure out,
he got Franklin.
First ran, remember, he was going to take the troops out. I get in there, troops come home.
That's what you heard. That's not what he said.
Day one.
There is no military solution in Iraq, and there never was. I will begin to remove our troops from Iraq immediately.
Begin to doesn't mean bring them all. Begin to could mean set a timetable. Begin to means the process of it. This is not a demonstration of a lie.
Begin to means I could bring one home every week. That's still beginning to remove the troops from Iraq.
Or even you don't have to physically bring someone back if you consult with your experts and set a goal of when you're going to. That's still beginning bringing people back.
Right.
It's a process. It's not. Right. They want a unilateral executive who's going to just act.
They want a fascist.
Yes. They want someone who's just going to cut through the bullshit and be like, consequences be damned. Everyone's coming home.
Fuck
those people over there. I don't care. They're all going to get slaughtered.
And it doesn't
shit.
It doesn't seem like they're interested so much in what's the best way to achieve a goal. So much as they are in scoring points on promises.
Yeah.
You know, like that idea of...
Again, less than 2 months into his presidency.
Yeah.
So, totally.
Yeah.
It's a charade. It's a nonsense game they're putting on.
I mean, even if you want the... Look, I want the war in Iraq to end.
Yep.
Even though we've announced mission accomplished how many times? An insane amount of times.
I want the past to be different, but we can't change that.
Exactly. But even then, like, there's no way that a reasonable person could say that just unilaterally removing all troops now is going to be a good thing.
No, it's the same thing with
morally.
Ron Paul's dumbass shit about, like, immediately cutting off all foreign aid.
Yeah.
Like, the idea of, like, hey,
awful.
Everybody being self-resilient and self-sustaining... That is a great outcome.
Yeah.
But the path towards that outcome that you are suggesting will lead to everyone dying.
Right.
That it's the same thing. You pull all the troops out, you are just willing innocent people to die in a much greater number than already have.
Well, and even to change the subject, like, let's go with any kind of unilateral action like that. Like, I think a single payer healthcare system is the best way to go.
Yeah.
The idea of Congress tomorrow instituted, even if we had super majorities in both houses
that
could overcome a veto, the idea of them setting up a single payer healthcare system tomorrow is a terrible fucking idea. Mm-hmm. That would be chaos on a scale that nobody could comprehend. The results of which would be both disastrous and unforeseeable, you know?
Being in a nice cool pool feels good, but in the wrong conditions, if you jump in, you could have a heart attack.
Yeah, exactly.
That sort of shock that comes from.
You're going to have to find a way to, because.
Yeah. In the same way that, there is this, sort of fetishizing and, hero, idealizing of a, like, singular individual.
The great man theory of history.
Right. They are also beholden to the idea of singular variables about things and don't consider all of these external, ideas of like, oh, well, doing that will affect, all these other things.
Right.
It's a failure of, like, I think, complex thinking.
Well, and that goes back to our, group of Rome problematique thing.
Club of Rome.
I apologize.
The villains of Alex Jones' world.
Exactly.
That he, like, suspiciously doesn't mention at all in,
like,
this documentary.
Their idea of, like, okay, you can play whack-a-mole, but you're not going to solve anything until you actually deal with the totality of the issue.
Yeah.
And that's both a critique and a negative for these guys.
Yeah. Well, it's because they're dumb.
They are dumb.
That's what it really boils down to. It's a lack of...
All right, end documentary. We've moved on. End our show. We finally got a lot more listeners. Now it's time to call it quits.
It's a lack of willingness to engage with complex ideas.
Yeah.
Insisting instead to be like, nope, it's the communists.
But that's the same thing with the Fed. Like, it makes you angry to have to go to the second page of Google. It makes you angry.
That's so foreign to me because I love it.
I know.
It's weird to me.
But that's why we're going to be killed by Trump fans.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
And then that went to 16 months. And now he's going to add, they're saying, another 30,000 or more troops to Afghanistan.
These numbers are off.
Next, he sent 30,000 more Marines to Afghanistan, doubling the total number of forces in the crosshairs. Barack then announced that he was going to move missile systems into Eastern Europe to encircle Russia. But after he kept Bush's Secretary of Defense Robert.
There's that animation.
Yep.
So, real quick on this is very important. That idea of Obama encircling Russia isn't remotely true, especially in 2009. From a July 2009 article on America.gov, quote, positioning a limited anti-ballistic missile system in Europe has been a significant issue between the United States and Russia. Under President George W. Bush, the United States proposed stationing 10 interceptor missiles in Poland and an advanced radar station in the Czech Republic to protect allies in Europe and thwart rogue states with nuclear ballistic missiles. Russian officials have expressed concern over the scope of the anti-ballistic missile system. Obama and then Russian President Medvedev said they have directed their missile experts to, quote, conduct a joint review of the entire spectrum of means at our disposal that allow us to cooperate on monitoring the development of missile programs around the world. Obama was working on cooperating with Russian President Medvedev to make the region safer in ways that serve both countries' interests. To present this as some sort of an aggression towards Russia is complete bullshit. And even though this joint agreement wasn't finalized until July of 2009, there were news reports all over the place earlier in the year when Alex was working on this documentary that testified to the fact that Obama was trying to find a way to work together. The only reason for him to not know that is willful ignorance, or he's lying. That's the only way around this.
Or, and this to me seems more likely, to Medvedev and Obama, that is cooperation.
Right.
But to a certain nationalistic Russian,
might have been,
that might not have been cooperation so much as
an
attack on our sovereignty.
Might have been president in all but name. There
is
that, but I can find no real evidence of it, so it seems weird to say. But like,
right?
That narrative that Alex is putting into the world of the idea that like Obama is trying to work to encircle Russia, it does serve the propaganda interests of Russia that we know today.
Yeah.
Certainly it does, but I can't find any evidence like, to back that up. So
I'm not going to make that claim definitively.
I know, but it feels
to say that, once again, who has motive?
Right. We both know.
Yeah.
It feels very weird and very in line with Alex's feelings about Russia, generally speaking. But in terms of this documentary, it also is like Occam's razor could tell us that it's just a way for him cheaply to misrepresent something to lie about Obama.
Right.
So that's good enough for me.
Of course.
No.
And I agree.
Yeah.
Hey, quick question.
Great.
And I don't know.
That's my response. I love a quick question.
Quick question. I don't know if you know this or not. And in fact, I probably would guess at 95% you don't. Do interceptor missiles actually work? Like, has anybody ever, so like that whole...
I think they do.
Do they though?
Well, I think they do at least as a deterrent.
It's really, really hard to shoot a missile out of the sky because it's essentially a tiny little bird flying at 10 million miles an hour.
But you can shoot a plane out of the sky.
Yeah, but a plane is big and can't go as fast.
Not small planes. I don't know. Look. I think, as I understand it, the technology does exist in a way that you could shoot down missiles.
Right.
I believe that does exist.
Right.
But even beyond that, you know, there is a little bit of a brinksmanship in terms of like, you don't know all the technology I have.
No, of course.
I don't know all the technology you have.
No, of course.
I set these things up here. You don't want to waste your rockets that you spent tons of money on.
Right.
With the idea that I might be able to shoot them.
Right. No,
I think there is a deterrent effect to it.
The Reagan gambit of Star Wars and so on and so forth.
There's something to it.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's a good idea to put billions of dollars into.
Right.
That's a whole other conversation.
I think from everything that I've ever read about interceptor missiles, it's like a success rate of like that kind of thing.
That's better than zero.
No, it is better than zero. I'm just interested in whether or not anybody's ever actually, cause it's really hard to do.
Yeah. I agree that it seems like it's difficult, but. I don't know. Look, who cares?
I know you don't know the answer to it.
No.
I was just kind of hoping that by some random ass chance you were like, and I've looked into interceptor missiles.
Can I be honest? I no longer like quick questions.
Fine.
You have ruined them for me.
Only long questions from here on out.
Some of this policy is if you're constantly meddling near the Russian borders with these fascist creeps.
Who does
IMF
that?
IMF NATO agents like Yushchenko of Ukraine or Saakashvili or Georgia. Or
he's eating his tie.
Hold on. Why is that? Why is that the...
Estonia. Your tie
to...
That's great B-roll.
And if they decide to start a war, that rapidly escalates into thermonuclear World War III. This is worse than the neocons. Bush and Cheney never got as far as Brzezinski, Soros, and the other people running
around. Whoa! We get a Soros!
That is the only time Soros' name is mentioned in any way in this documentary, which is super fucked up because with the idea that Webster Tarpley is coming in saying that he is one of the people who runs Obama, why wasn't he listed in that list of people that included three people who aren't in the Obama administration?
Yeah,
you had
Kissinger
in there, Haas, you know, like why didn't you throw Soros in there? Because he's not someone who's on Alex's radar in any meaningful way in 2009. Now, I mean, it's interesting.
How is he on Tarpley's radar? What's Tarpley up to?
Well, he's a Lyndon LaRouche guy.
Oh, that's true.
So he's an anti-Semite through and through.
Also, two things about this clip so far. One. How many more places are we going to interview Tarpley? This is like
this
our
is number
fifth,
three, I think, at least.
This is like our fifth background.
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy
It is weird, but they all do seem, they're probably the same room, and that,
that
outside shot was probably outside this hotel.
Yeah. It's the same place.
Yeah.
But, and two, because our listeners can't see it, the clip they showed.
The B-roll we
showed, what was the guy's name?
It wasn't Yushchenko. It was it was another one of those fascist creeps.
It was the Ukrainian guy, right?
No, that's Yushchenko.
I don't
remember who it was, but it was one of the fascist creeps that Tarpley listed.
So
it's B-roll of him sitting.
he's sitting at a table.
It appears
and
to be an official table.
Oh yeah. It looks like it's whatever version whatever version of the Oval Office his country has. He's on the phone and he's just kind of eating his tie.
He's chewing on his necktie.
Which is like, all right, if you're gonna slander a guy, that's the perfect clip to have.
It's one of the best cases of editing in this documentary.
Absolutely.
I would say
it would only have been better if during that time he had the clip of HW puking in the Japanese prime minister's lap.
Just a shame reel.
Just like, all right, okay.
In terms of all this stuff, like, I think it's kind of outside of our purposes, really, to do a deep dive into the geopolitical situation in Eastern Europe in 2009. I'm just going to leave that alone for now, just because it's, you know, it's outside of the thrust of the documentary. I'll say, though, that it's just important to remember that what that conversation about the fascist creeps around Russia, what that was predicated on is the idea that Obama was putting missiles around Russia, and that's absolutely not true.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing in terms of the discussion of what's happening here.
Right.
I don't care to get into the petty squabbles of whether or not Soros was working for good or ill, because it's all lies.
And even then, they specifically point out that he's putting interceptor missiles around there, which, by their very definition, are defensive.
Well, sure. And
they are not there. You can't, I don't know if you can or not. I assume you can't, but you can't just like launch an interceptor missile on Moscow. It seems like you would have built
a quick question.
No,
I don't know anything.
You know
about
what?
This.
Never mind. I know a lot about interceptor missiles.
Barack Obama swore that he would
Bernie
vote
Sanders looking
Bernie!
Real pissed.
Hey, Bernie, how you doing?
He doesn't want to be there.
Sick of that shit.
Obama decried the Bush administration's illegal warrantless wiretapping of the American people. Then he voted to legalize it.
So real quick, a couple things. He said that Obama said he was going to get rid of the Patriot Act. He never said that. He just said that what he was going to do is revisit it to see how it could be improved to strengthen oversight about government surveillance.
Right.
The promise itself, I think, is weak and so vague as to be meaningless, so I don't really know. But he did follow through with it. Like, he did re-examine the Patriot Act. Alex is just pretending that he said he was going to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Initially, he voted against it when he was in the Senate, and then a year later, he voted for its renewal. So he has a complicated history with it.
Yeah.
But in terms of the wiretapping thing, Alex is right.
Oh, yeah. No.
Alex is right.
Nope. By no means are we going to...
Obama didn't do enough to curb that. Some moves were made and all that. But also, here we have on screen, Alex has pushed up this... I guess it's a Washington Post article, but it's about FISA. It's about the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. That isn't necessarily what Alex is talking about. So he's trying to make this about the idea that all Americans are being spied on, but that's not what this article's about.
Right.
So it's more complicated than that. I'm willing to give him like a bit of a point. And yeah. He didn't do enough on that one.
The fun thing about this, even watching this now, is that I would posit that the debate on Obama's presidency 20 years from now is going to be far more fascinating even than the debate on Obama's presidency.
We're still too close to it a little bit.
Yeah. Like it will be his legacy will be so interesting to try and like work through on a line by line basis.
Especially once we're out of the crisis that we're in 2018.
Exactly.
Like it's very hard for us to have the gift of insight.
Right.
Or force, what would it be? The hindsight.
Yeah.
While we're in like, times all the time. Like just constant chaos.
No, and then,
the sort of corollary of that is that this was made 2 months into his presidency.
Yeah, that's true.
So like when they're saying he's not outlawing, surveillance, he hasn't gotten rid of the Patriot Act. 2 months in, buddy. Two months in. Not that they're wrong totally, but they have no business saying that they're right.
Right.
Because that hasn't happened yet.
Right.
Obama pledged that he would filibuster any attempt to give retroactive immunity to the telephone companies, the telecom companies, except he then turned around and voted for that bill.
He's right! Tarpley's fair on that one.
Balloons! People, oh my God, balloons are dropping everywhere!
Voted to reinstate the Patriot Act and more government wiretapping.
Candidate Obama told desperate factory workers in speech after speech that he was going to renegotiate NAFTA and GATT to make it more fair for American workers.
It is absolutely true that NAFTA was a mistake.
But then his campaign was caught sending out memos to top corporate leaders telling them not to worry and that it was just campaign rhetoric.
That sounds like a smoking gun, Dan.
This is a
we got one absolutely correct statement that our boy mustacheless Wilford Brimley
Tarpley.
Said. And
Spider
now,
Tarps Webster.
And now we're gonna keep going.
So I paused this here just so you could see this article here. It's from CTV.ca, a Canadian news organization.
Yeah.
Tarpley is gonna say a little bit more about this, and then I'll explain what the situation is.
Obama saying, you know, I'm against free trade. I don't like NAFTA and all those free trade sellouts. We had Austin Goolsbee going to the Canadian diplomats and saying, don't mind him. He's just popping off. That's just election era rhetoric. Doesn't mean anything.
Presidential candidate.
So real quick, I forgot. This is also still a news camp article.
Toss it in there.
Barack Obama was publicly criticizing the North American Free Trade Agreement in a bid for votes, but privately telling Canadian officials not to worry about it.
So this is all an interesting piece of bullshit that Webster Tarpley is spinning.
Okay.
And they are using news reports that were erroneous in order to back up their story. This is absolutely a case of a smear. Absolutely a case of, so here's the situation.
Yeah.
Tarpley is saying that during the 2008 campaign, Obama was just saying that he was against NAFTA, but he was going around telling people in Canada that it was just blustery campaign talk.
And he has a Canadian article and one local access news channel to defend it.
So the first problem is that Obama wasn't anti-NAFTA. He was just insistent that it needed to be improved to add labor and environmental protections into it.
Right.
That was his take on the campaign trail.
Right.
He was pretty consistent about that.
Right.
Second, the story about him privately reassuring and Canadian diplomats through his advisor Austin Goolsbee isn't true, and most likely it was actually a coordinated smear against Obama carried out during the 2008 campaign. The story that Alex flashes up on screen, that article from CTV, they reported on February 27th that there was a memo that an Obama advisor had contacted the Canadian embassy and told them that Obama's rhetoric was just, quote, political maneuvering. In the fallout from this story being published, Obama's camp denied the story. The Canadian embassy denied the story. No records could be found of an Obama advisor contacting the Canadian embassy. There was no record or transcript anywhere to be found. This was days before the Ohio primary, a place where NAFTA was particularly unpopular. So both Clinton and Obama they were painting each other as the one who secretly was most in favor of NAFTA.
No.
By March 3rd, the story had changed to being about Austin Goolsbee, Obama advisor, visiting the Canadian consulate in Chicago.
Yeah.
And that's where the comment was made. This
we
is like
a Canadian consulate here?
Yeah.
I'll be goddamn.
We have a lot of consulates.
We're a metropolitan city. Yeah, we're an international city. Hey, everybody, welcome to Chicago.
The story likely changed because Goolsbee did visit the consulate on February 8th, 2008, and NAFTA was a topic that came up in his meeting. But he flatly denied saying anything close to what was alleged.
Yeah.
When a write-up of the full meeting was offered, it included this text. Quote, on NAFTA, Goolsbee suggested that Obama is less about fundamentally changing the agreement and more in favor of strengthening, clarifying the language on labor, mobility, and environment, and trying to establish these as more core principles of the agreement. That's pretty much exactly what Obama was saying on the campaign trail. There were also parts in this write-up that involved that, quote, political maneuvering comment that were roundly denounced by Goolsbee, who said he didn't say anything even close to that, and it was an inappropriate inference made by whoever had written that report.
Yeah.
The Canadian embassy issued an apology that same day on March 3rd. Quote, in the recent report, produced by the Consul General in Chicago, there was no intention to convey in any way that Senator Obama and his campaign team were talking, taking a different position in public from views expressed in private, including about NAFTA. We deeply regret any inference that could have been drawn out to that effect. In the fallout, accusations were made that Ian Brody, the chief of staff for the conservative prime minister Stephen Harper, an ally of Bush, had been behind the leak with the interest of interfering with the United States election. Whatever the case is, and whoever was behind it, which is still to some extent unclear, this is a situation where somebody did Obama dirty, and the lie had a real effect. Hillary would go on to win the Ohio primary because of this smear, most likely.
And yeah.
It's hard to say. Obama was gaining ground, and he had a chance to win. And in the aftermath of that, she did end up winning the Ohio primary.
Right.
It's pointless to relitigate that to some extent because of how history ended up working out.
Yeah.
But then McCain would go on to bring up that story, even though the truth had come out about it, to smear Obama on the general election. It's insane because it's two stages of it. He did nothing wrong. Austin Goolsbee did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
It's clear from it that there's no evidence.
They got swift voted.
More or less by someone within this, conceivably someone within the Canadian consulate.
Yeah.
Who was working across purposes in order to paint the picture that Obama was a flip flopper and a liar.
Right.
That wasn't the case. And now we have Alex Jones using that by this point. When he's making this documentary, all the information is there. Like, he should know that this isn't something that is sincere.
Right.
But
hard and fast rule now for, public politicians. Even going down to the staff. Don't have a cartoonishly evil name.
Goolsbee?
Yeah. I don't want to be that guy.
Right.
I don't want to tell you that you have to change your name. But come on, man, you can't be Goolsbee. Of course you're gonna be in a fucking controversy.
Goolsbee is tough.
Your name is Goolsbee.
Yeah.
Look, the moment they said that conspiracy theory and you said Goolsbee, I was like, there's probably some truth to it. It's wrong!
Turns out now the Canadian embassy's haunted.
None of it. None of it is true. But come on, Goolsbee, I'm gonna believe on a little bit of a animalistic level.
It's that visceral human. You just
Goolsbee. You said Goolsbee. Probably something
intrinsic
true.
Intrinsic distrust of ghosts. Ghost adjacent people.
Ghost adjacent people. I distrust across the board.
So anyway, that's hot bullshit. But also, Alex saw fit to involve it in his documentary, which is terrible.
Then again, by definition, all human beings are ghost adjacent.
Only if you believe ghosts exist.
There you go.
Let's move on.
He said
was going to bring us peace in the Middle East.
No, he didn't.
He said that he was going to bring us transparency and a balanced economy.
Get a haircut.
He said that he was going to not have lobbyists. He said he was going to clean up government. He said he was going to work for...
What you're laughing about... You're laughing about, they've spelled out deceiver with Obama being the I.
Yeah.
Like Obama's silhouette being the I, deceiver.
It's
clunky as hell.
It is so clunky. I thought they were like, I was trying, I legitimately was like, are they trying to spell December?
I honestly tuned that out the first two times I watched this documentary. It didn't even register.
Because it looks like, it looks like instead of Obama being the I, yeah, he's like the other
a
part
y.
of the
M. He looks like a Y.
Yeah, exactly.
It's nonsense. It's bad. It's
that's terrible.
It's terrible, like visual art. It's
truly
so
terrible.
Bad, which yeah. is another part of this documentary that's terrible. It's visually unsatisfying.
Oh, it's
to the nth degree. Oh. Which is why, like, legitimately, when I was going through this, trying to, like, find, like, what are the points of this documentary,
yeah.
I would end up watching, like, 3 minutes and then have to walk to the bathroom and look in the mirror. Like, just be like,
oh, what am I doing with
I gotta
life?
Stand up.
Are we ever gonna...
Gotta stand up. It took
What's
me...
What's the payoff here?
This documentary is 2 hours long, and, like, legitimately, the first time I watched through it, it probably took me 2 days. Just because I kept pausing, I'm like... Nah, I gotta read a wrestling article. I gotta read what's going on with Becky Lynch, you know, or whatever. Like, I gotta get my mind off this. This sucks.
Right.
This documentary is terrible.
It is bad.
Deceiver.
The environment. And point by point.
Get a haircut!
Within the first month of his inauguration, he has lied and deceived and cheated the
So I feel no obligation to respond to any of these complaints that George Humphrey is making here because they're recording this fucking documentary less than 2 months before after Obama got into office.
No.
He's talking about campaign promises, and sure, some of it is fair, like fair criticism, like the idea of Obama saying he wasn't going to have lobbyists in his administration and then waivers for people. That sort of thing. Sure. Fair criticism.
Yeah.
But, like, some of these other things that require time, it is so unfair of them. It's nonsense.
No, the bullshit, first 100 days arbitrary bullshit that the media throws on there is stupid. 2 months is even dumber.
Yeah, yeah.
So, even dumber.
So as I was sitting down and listening to all this, like, I just kept getting this feeling, like, it really was overwhelming that, like, trying to figure out why they think what they think 2 months into his term is a futile exercise.
Well, black.
Maybe.
He's a black president, Dan.
Maybe.
Done.
Probably. But it's
done.
It was a futile exercise. Like, they've already decided he's breaking all the promises.
They decided that
Doesn't
whenever.
Matter.
They decided that before he won the primary.
You bet.
When
Alex started making
black!
This documentary.
Yeah.
You know what? What I've realized from this, like, when we've been listening to 2009 episodes and Alex was talking about, like, I'm gonna finish this documentary up.
Give him a chance. Yeah.
No. When he's like, I'm working on this documentary. I'm working 16-hour days. I guarantee, first of all, I worked harder on this than he did on this documentary.
Agreed.
But second, I'm convinced now, as I watch this documentary, so much of it is padded filler from, like, Endgame.
Yeah.
A lot of it is stuff that is just like, CFR sucks.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that that has nothing to do with Obama. I guarantee no matter who won, he was going to make this documentary. It would be the Clinton deception.
Absolutely.
Or something like that.
Absolutely.
Hillary won.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter. None of this matters. And Alex's response to that would be like, of course I would have done that because it's about who's behind them.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right.
So it's a futile argument to make.
Yeah.
But, like, the points that he's making rely on the specifics of what Obama has done, did do, who he put into the positions that he put in. And it does matter. It does matter who won the election for Alex's argument. And it just – I look at this and I'm like, this is the crassest fucking thing in the world. It makes me feel gross that we're covering it. I mean, we still got it.
It's a cash grab. On the same level, I agree. I think one thing that this makes eminently clear, and I've already been on this tip and I've said it furiously and loudly so often, but these people
are the rich.
They're probably delicious. They've been eating nice food for so long.
Marbled butts.
Ooh, so good. You just get a flank out of Alan Greenspan.
A lot of slow twitch muscle.
The futility of arguing with somebody
in this kind of bad faith.
No, I understand.
Like, why,
no, totally.
Like, why would you
That's
go?
That's the big problem.
Right. Like, but, why would you watch this documentary and then think, oh, well, going on Fox News to get my point out there is going to make sense. No, these people decided years before you showed up on their fucking show right. what their narrative was going to be, and you have nothing to do with it.
The bad faith part of it is like, that's the bedrock of it. But
yeah.
The added comedy of like, he's been in office like 45 days.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Like, that is that, and it's 45 days when the documentary was released.
Right, which means it was finished 44 days before.
But when these interviews happened were, I don't know, negative 10 days before he was inaugurated.
God, or, you would hope.
You know, like, it's this sort of thing where it's like, I don't even know how to take this seriously.
Yeah.
And I understand that, like, there's valid criticisms of Obama, and we have them as well, but, like, I can't take this seriously.
Yeah.
It made it so, like, again, I just had to keep walking away from it.
Yeah.
And this is going to haunt me much more than Endgame. It really pisses me off.
To prove, the thing I said 8.5 hours ago, I really miss Obama.
back when you were at home before you came over here.
This documentary has showed me how much I miss Obama president.
And
he's so good as president.
I mentioned this
I mean, I don't know about the actual president part, but God damn it, waking up every day and watching him talk.
I mentioned this like really early, in the first episode is that like, when I was going through trying to find those points from those speeches that Alex was taking out of context, I ended up watching the whole speeches because Obama is an amazing speaker and he's able to convey points.
Yeah.
In a way that's really interesting to listen to. Like, oh, that's what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Like he lays out an argument.
No.
And it's not just like, hey, those people in the back in the media, they fucking suck.
Right. Right. No, and, whatever.
Hey, maybe an old Jew is paying that caravan. Like, what?
Wait, we need to get some of these Second Amendment people to write my speeches.
I can't imagine a scenario wherein, like, I forget that Trump was president a couple years from now. Or
oh,
whatever.
Good God, no.
Right? But like, that happens, and then I'm doing a podcast about a documentary about Trump, and I go back and I watch some of his speeches, and I'm like, I forgot how, like, really great these speeches were.
Man.
Yeah.
The American people.
The people of the United States and the world were filled with hope that Obama was the real deal when in his first week in office he signed an executive order supposedly closing Guantanamo Bay and other secret prisons. Then the press actually had a chance to read the executive order and were shocked to find that the executive order only said that Obama was thinking about closing Guantanamo in a year.
So, Alex says that Obama signed this executive order saying he's thinking about closing Guantanamo
Bay.
Are
there executive orders that are like...
That's a diary entry. That's not an executive order.
Executive order number 4,300, or actually, in my earlier pronouncement.
You know, Kennedy 1-1.
Executive order 11000111100011. It can't be like, I'm thinking about having a nice meal for lunch today.
Executive order 11001000001. I'm thinking Arby's. Branded content in an executive order. Brilliant. I don't understand what the fuck.
Executive order 11100. I had a dream about bears and I don't know what that means.
I don't understand what Alex is trying to present because it's a ludicrous proposition. The idea that a president of this country would put out an executive order. It's like, I kind of feel this way. Like, that's stupid. That's fucking stupid. And anyone who would hear that and be like, oh, he did.
You have to sign your name to, I'm thinking about closing Guantanamo.
In reality, he signed Executive Order 13492, which set an explicit timetable to close Guantanamo and relocate the people being held there. Now, admittedly, they ended up blowing it in terms of actually following that timetable, but Alex can't know that in March 2009.
Oh, he can't?
He can't know that. The substance of the actual executive order sets a timetable of a year when they're going to reevaluate the position of all of the people who are held there and also reinforces the idea that they have to be kept in humane conditions,
right,
according to the Geneva Conventions. Now, while it's bad, this refers to something that Alex is about to say.
Oh, okay. All right.
But worst of all, the executive order continued the practice of rendition, which the LA Times called secret abductions.
because that's the definition.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they are.
So he's saying that it's bad that they didn't end renditions, but it's also, I mean, it's just not in the executive order. All Alex is saying is that the executive order about the timetable to close Guantanamo Bay didn't also include, hey, also let's stop renditions.
Right.
I wish that Obama did stop renditions. I wish that that would never happen, but it also isn't expected to be like a compound executive order. Like, what he's
again,
attacking him for something that is not even a part of.
It is fascinating because so far the most salient criticisms he's made of Obama can only be solved by Obama having fascistic dictator powers
or being closer to our version of like near socialist left. Like,
yeah,
because
yeah, exactly.
Like, spoiler alert. Later on, they're going to explicitly say you should nationalize the Federal Reserve.
All right. Well, then, fucking, like, what are you doing?
Which is like, I mean, that's.
But yeah, so you want to have Obama? You want to blame Obama for not closing Guantanamo Bay? How does Obama do that? He just says Guantanamo Bay is closed.
Right.
So you now have an executive who can just. Whatever he wants.
Well, and then the consequences of that need to fall where they may. And what one of those things that is going to inevitably be a part of that is all of the people who you are now releasing. Maybe some of them were actual terrorists, and now they are fucking.
They
leaks.
Are super terrorists now.
Yeah, they are.
I would. You wouldn't. You
would. It's like Heroes season 3 with yeah, level 5.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you are actually.
Ooh, bad reference.
I don't want to.
Sorry.
I was going to walk over that.
Sorry.
If you are a terrorist that has been held indefinitely, and force fed, you are not going to suddenly be released and be like, oh, okay, cool. Now I'm not a terrorist.
Now,
the whole reason that they didn't fucking close it is because because they knew that there were so many people that they were holding who were innocent, who were gonna sue the fuck out of them, and who were gonna fucking win.
Now that's
to the tune of a lot of money.
That's what I was about to get to.
Yeah.
Because that is
I don't know why I'm mad in the wrong, I don't know how I'm mad in that direction. Everybody's bad.
No, totally.
Except
totally.
For the people who are innocent, who are held in Guantanamo Bay, who deserve restitution beyond all reasonable measure.
They absolutely do. But you have to consider that, like, what that ends up doing is forcing the issue too of, like, all of these people going to The Hague.
Oh yeah.
Which actually I would say, let's go ahead.
Yeah,
and do it.
I'm all for it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm talking myself into a circle. I actually think you probably should have just released everybody and let the chips fall where they may.
Probably.
Because it's the humanely right thing to do.
At least then maybe he wouldn't have wound up in The Hague.
I think that he's signed off immediately on closing Guantanamo, but he's allowing prisoners now to be taken to foreign countries and not knowing where they're sending them. And to be tortured in foreign countries, they don't know that they kept that provision in there.
Obama is now continuing the practice of secret arrest, secret prisons, and most importantly, indefinite detention without trial.
Which you will be for a scant 10 years from now.
To release secret British and U.S. torture orders that prove that the Bush administration was ordering personnel to systematically abuse detainees, Barack Obama threatened to cut off all U.S. intelligence ties to England. To add insult to injury, he stated that the program was important to national security, not only endorsing Bush's crimes, but continuing them.
So on screen
right,
here we
come
have...
Come on, man!
But on screen here we have the ACLU. Alex is referencing the ACLU, which is...
Which he
come
absolutely
on,
despises and hates and hopes dies for.
Alex, do better.
Yeah.
But the story that he's talking about...
They are a good resource for factual information.
But the story he's telling makes no sense. Because by this time, like by 2009, by the time Obama was even running for president, everyone knew that the Bush administration's position was pro-torture.
Yeah.
Like it was a national disgrace and we'd had a pretty public debate about it and the administration said, meh, who cares? They didn't really give a shit about it. And I think a lot of activist people were like, no, yeah. You go to The Hague now. Yeah. I mean, I remember being in protests that were, I mean, I was in fucking Columbia, Missouri, no one gave a shit.
Right.
But that was the thrust of them. Like, you are a fucking war criminal. What are we doing? Like, that, the revelation of the torture was like, it was so profoundly impactful.
You know,
but like,
yeah.
So,
sorry.
in 2009, Alex saying that, like, Obama is trying to block these documents coming out in some way to be a denial or, like, hide the fact that Bush tortured people is ludicrous. Everyone fucking already knew already at that point. And Obama was clear on his position that he would end torture and waterboarding, and he fucking did. He absolutely did.
Indeed.
Some of the gray areas about, like, third countries and stuff like that is bad, but he cut down on that to a great degree.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that's good enough, but.
Right. It's hard to say, like, yeah, you made it so that Americans didn't torture people. You did kind of outsource it, though. So
but not
now,
to the,
I don't, yeah, exactly, right?
And before,
right?
Not that that's
is that
better.
A good? I don't know. Are we pro? I don't know. Yeah.
You hope that you just do none of it, you know. But
I think that's the central issue with Obama's presidency that we are going to relitigate 20 years from now. To what extent is incremental change morally acceptable?
Well, I think based on the fact that it led to Trump, it's not at all.
Exactly, right?
You would hope that if there was forward progress consistently, then it would matter.
Right.
It would matter because what you do today is a building block for what happens tomorrow and what happens the next day and what happens the next day.
Right.
It is like, okay, we can't achieve everything today, but we do what we can and we swallow the hard pill that we don't want to be doing this and it sucks, but it is what's best for maintaining a...
Exactly.
Appropriate status quo.
Right.
And I know that even
Hillary
is going to
be the next president and she's going to incrementally do better than that.
And even in that calculation, we're not taking into account how much that is still horribly abusive to the rest of the world.
Exactly.
And I don't want to minimize that. But
exactly.
You would hope that, like, you know, X plus one, X plus two, X plus three, X plus four, X plus five, X plus 10 or whatever, you get to a point where it's not hurting the rest of the world.
Exactly.
You hope that you're working towards that, but since X plus one was Trump, it means nothing. So incremental change probably doesn't matter, but it felt like it did. It felt like it was, and maybe that's the true reality that we learn about compromise. Maybe it's that, fuck that. You know, power exists in your hands for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Trying to preserve that power by equivocating and compromising is only serving the interests of the people who agree the exact opposite of you.
Yeah.
And when you are someone who is like, we shouldn't kill people, and the other side's like, go ahead and kill people.
Yeah.
Then
why are you compromising?
Then it's an abuse of the power that you have for the time that you have it to compromise because you had the power to say, no, fuck this.
Right.
I don't know. It's hard.
I think if I were a history, master's degree student
like
right
Webster
now,
Darpley?
Going for my PhD. Yeah.
Sure.
For real.
You're a Fulbright scholar?
If I was a Fulbright scholar going for my PhD, I would definitely write about how the first 2 years of Obama's presidency was probably the linchpin of history.
Maybe the first 2 months, as evidenced by this documentary.
Nah, I wouldn't go that far. I would say the first 2 years were the linchpin of history.
You may be right. At least modern history, because there's so many other things that have pivoted. But I know that's not what you're
history's
talking about.
Not going to last much longer, Dan. Don't worry about it.
But so in
climate change,
in this argument, Alex is trying to imply that Obama was trying to protect the secrets of Bush, and that's not fair. Because the secrets are already out there about Bush torturing people. So it's impossible that that's what his motivation was. In reality, if you look into this, Obama threatened to limit intelligence sharing with the United Kingdom if they released that information. But not because it revealed torture, but because it would reveal some of the information that was gathered through the course of the interrogations. Now, I still don't think that's great,
right.
But it's very different.
Right.
It's a very different scenario than what Alex is painting. He's not trying to protect Bush or the idea that we tortured people. We'd already owned up to that.
Right.
And we felt bad about it. He's trying to protect the idea that there is some information that was gathered from interrogations of people that would be released if the British put these reports out.
Right, right, right.
So, I don't know. Some people have speculated that contained in that information that the British would have released was the information that Obama used to track down bin Laden.
Right.
It's not entirely clear. That's just something that's been suggested. But if that's the case, then that's a really good argument.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. That's all I got to say is I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're not going to win. That's the bummer of this right
well,
now.
Well, no, but the explanation of it, we do win because he's lying.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, like, no, absolutely. On the, but again, I'm just like with our last documentary, I'm rapidly forgetting that we are watching a documentary because right. this is a series of like, visuals and chyrons and all of that shit that have very little relationship to each other.
No.
So now
and,
we're just.
And little to do with Obama.
Yeah, and now we're just kind of freewheeling.
Obama voted for a reinstatement of the Patriot Act.
Yep.
And by his early deeds already again, as we saw with his,
1 month into his presidency. Retention.
No, he voted for the fucking Patriot Act in 2006. He was in the fucking Senate.
No, he means his early deeds as president.
I think
that's
he meant his early
referring.
Deeds like in the Senate.
Oh, okay.
That, I think
well,
that's
then,
what he meant.
Then
maybe.
Never mind. I'm good.
Send people that have been charged with nothing to be tortured to so-called get the truth out of them.
If the makers of this film attempted to cover all of Obama's lies, this documentary would never be released.
Buy a First copy of all, the DVD of the Obama section
the scroll
at
is
Infowars.com.
I love the idea that Alex is like, if the makers of this film, me, tried to do my job, it would be long.
It would take a while.
And
which
I do
is
not
why
have the
I
fucking
have
energy to do that.
Misspelled
so.
Everything.
It's crazy. Like, you know, trying to present it that way, like the makers of this film. Like, I got fucking hired to do voiceover
like,
work.
Like PBS yeah. is involved.
Because there are new ones every day.
Every
so
day.
In the interest of time, we're going to cover one more big one.
There's an hour
Barack
left of this documentary.
The cornerstone of his campaign, keeping lobbyists and donors out of his administration. Within hours of being elected, Obama did a 180 and filled the White House and federal government with lobbyists and donors at all levels.
Now, Obama did say on the campaign trail he was not going to allow lobbyists to work on anything that was related to the industries that they had previously lobbied in.
Right.
He did make those promises, and he didn't follow through with them fully. That is a fair criticism.
Agreed.
And by the time he made this documentary, that is still a fair criticism.
Agreed.
Because the people that he put into office or put into place were people that had gotten waivers and things like that.
Right.
So, but when he got into office, Obama did sign an executive order strengthening ethics rules about the hiring of lobbyists, but it also allowed those waivers to be filed, which kind of undermines the enforcement power of the executive order
right.
to begin with.
Right, right, right.
I'm not interested in defending Obama on this front or any front, really, and I wish he would have stuck with that commitment. But ultimately, it's also the sort of thing that all presidents do.
Yeah.
Like, if Alex had this big of a problem with Obama doing this, I just can't imagine how he feels about what Trump did. Like,
oh, boy.
Like, I know that...
Drain the swamp, Dan.
I know that, like...
Drain it!
I know that our idealism and what we wish would be true is so caught up in this, and Alex is exploiting that to a certain extent because, you know, we wish that this had been the case.
Right.
But if you look at almost every president ever, they're like, special interests are out when I'm in.
Right.
And then they find a way to... So Alex is going to get into some of the lobbyists that were involved in Obama's campaign.
Are they all on the Council of Foreign Relationship?
I think we're through that CFR check.
Okay.
But some of these are interesting examples, and some of them are really fucking terrible.
Obama picked William Lynn, the top lobbyist for Raytheon, to fill the number two position of the Department of Defense.
So he did.
He looks like he's a robot.
Yeah, he does.
He was grown in a fucking tank.
So William Lynn being put in was a controversy. Like the mainstream media also had a firestorm with it.
Yeah.
They were very against this.
Yeah, nobody was stoked.
Because he was a lobbyist for Raytheon. That's 100% correct.
Agreed.
Alex isn't lying about that.
Yep.
It's definitely not a good look since he had been recently working for Raytheon. It wasn't even like years in the past. The argument was that he was very qualified for the position at the Defense Department, given that he was also an undersecretary for defense from 1997 to 2001 in the Clinton administration. He'd also been a senior fellow at the National Defense University, so he had qualifications for the job.
Right.
In his waiver, it was specified that he'd not be able to work in any matters that related to any of the six programs that he'd previously been a lobbyist for. Is that good enough? Probably not. Does using that is your first example of Obama's malfeasance mean you probably have a weak argument? Probably.
A little bit.
Because like, you could, I don't want anybody who has a financial interest doing anything.
Right.
I don't want them anywhere.
Right.
But I do see why William Lynn would be a very qualified candidate to be the Undersecretary of Defense.
Right.
Like, I get it. I do understand. And if there is oversight and an awareness of like, you get out of line, I'm going to fucking hit you.
Right.
That sort of thing.
Right.
I don't think he would be ineffective in that role. I don't know. I still would say it's that ultimate question of like, you have someone who has a good resume, great qualifications, good for the job. Do you, deprive yourself of their experience because of a former job they had? I don't know the answer to that question. There's probably people who are equally qualified, but maybe they didn't click right with the other people who were involved. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's not my decision to make. Alex is kind of fine on this.
Yeah.
He has a decent point. I would say if there's another decent point, who cares? We're never going to get to the bottom of it.
Exactly.
Timothy Geithner, former president of the
Fuck
private Federal
guy.
Reserve Bank of New York,
Boo!
Was picked by Obama to be Secretary of the Treasury.
That's a terrible animation.
Tim Geithner was never a lobbyist.
That Geithner looks like one of those Taiwanese animations.
Full of lobbyists, like his chief of staff, Mark Patterson, formerly the top lobbyist at Goldman Sachs.
Like I said, Tim Geithner was never a lobbyist. He was the president of the New York Federal Reserve, but he wasn't a lobbyist. Mark Patterson worked at Goldman Sachs, but he left the firm in April 2008. That's probably not enough time separation for my tastes, but they felt he was well qualified for the position. He was a Democratic staff director and chief counsel for the Senate Finance Committee from 1995 to 1999. And from 1999 to 2004, he was the policy director for Senate Democratic leader Tom Daschle. So it's not like he's only a lobbyist.
Right.
He was woefully unqualified for the position he was being put into. You know, I don't know. But also, Alex says that fucking Tim Geithner got in, and he is presenting him as a lobbyist. He wasn't.
Right.
And then he's saying he packed the Treasury Department with lobbyists. This is the one example he's got.
Right.
That's not packing the department. The chief of staff is a former lobbyist, but also maybe qualified.
He's not indicting the people or Obama. He is indicting the revolving door system, which I am fine with. If you want to,
he is indicting the people.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like he's ostensibly saying that it's about these people, individuals, when in reality, it's about the entire system that has created, the government that we exist in now.
Well, now, if he wanted to make a documentary about that, I think it would look
great.
A lot different.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it would look very different.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like all of the places where he has a point have nothing to do or are not specifically about these people. Mm-hmm. Like all of the places where
he's making it about the people.
Exactly. That's where he's wrong.
Yeah.
I am with him on like,
get money out of
Geithner,
politics.
Geithner is a fucking asshole and these guys shouldn't be lobbyists and they shouldn't be in the government. But that's not about
Geithner's
Obama.
Not a lobbyist.
I know Geithner's not a lobbyist.
Alex doesn't.
Well, that's fair. But it's not like these guys are the individuals who are doing this. This is part of a broader system of a revolving door in politics and lobbyists and so on and so forth.
I get where he's coming from
and I agree on a certain level, but he's wrong.
I understand where that agreement comes from, but the actual charges that he's making are not what you're concerned about.
Agreed.
That's the problem with this. Because the things you need to wrestle with are the things that we're talking about in terms of these people's actual resume.
Right.
And it's like, well, if you had just taken a lobbyist for Raytheon who had no experience in the Defense Department.
Right.
Or as a fellow at the National Defense University.
Right.
And you'd put them in that position because they would be able to profit in some way, then we have the absolute signs of corruption.
Absolutely.
But because that person had an experience in government and was someone who is relevant to the job, it's not the same thing as that revolving door thing. It's adjacent to it, but it's not the same. It's not the same as like Betsy DeVos being the Department of Education.
Oh yeah, yeah, no,
secretary.
That's absolutely not the same.
It's
I
not
agree.
The same as Ben Carson being the head of HUD, and not like they're lobbyists or anything like that. But it is the like those are people who are uniquely unqualified to be in the positions that they're in.
Right.
These people, even though they had a history as lobbyists, were qualified.
Right.
So you.
Yeah, no,
it's a decision I'm glad I never have to make.
Right.
But I look at it and I'm like, I see both sides of this. I don't think this is a damning indictment of anything.
No,
but if Alex has an example of someone who is dead to rights, unqualified coming up, then I'll agree with him.
Absolutely.
Let's see.
Obama appointed top lobbyist to the Saudi royal family, George Mitchell, as the lead Middle Eastern envoy. Obama appointed the king.
So this George Mitchell, he had been employed at DLA Piper previously to being chosen as Obama, his choice for the Middle East envoy. But I can find no evidence he was actually lobbying for Saudi Arabia or the royal family. Interestingly,
has he ever registered as a foreign agent retroactively?
I don't think so. But interestingly, the firm he worked for after leaving the Obama administration did do some lobbying work for Saudi. But that was in 2015.
Right.
I can find no evidence that he did any before that. But Alex couldn't know about that in 2009.
Of course.
So Mitchell is an interesting case because leave aside the unproven Saudi lobbying claims, and you have a perfect candidate for the job and simultaneously maybe the dirt worst. On the one hand, Mitchell has a resume a mile long of lobbying for big tobacco, manufacturing interests, and the insurance lobby. It makes me very uncomfortable about him. At the same time, the position Obama was looking to fill was the special envoy for Middle East peace, and Mitchell had a fucking good set of qualifications there. He'd previously served as special envoy for Northern Ireland from 1995 to 2001, where he was involved in the Belfast Peace Agreement, and that earned Mitchell a Liberty Medal and the Presidential Medal of Freedom, because he resolved a very tense situation in Northern Ireland, which isn't perfect still, but it was way worse. In 2000, Bill Clinton sent Mitchell on a fact-finding mission to see what he could learn about the Arab-Israeli conflict. In 2001, he released the Mitchell Report, which called for the Israelis
right.
to fucking stop building settlements in Palestinian right. territories and called for the Palestinians to work on preventing violence.
No, I remember the Mitchell Report.
Beyond that, he was a senator from Maine from 1980 to 1995. He was a Senate Majority Leader for six of those years, and he was a senior fellow and senior research scholar at the Columbia University Center for International Conflict Resolution. That is a very specifically qualified resume for someone that Obama might look to be the special envoy for Middle East peace. Should he have been disqualified because he had done lobbying work for these other industries in the past? Maybe. I don't fucking know. But that's a great resume for someone you want to send over. He has experience in Middle East peace negotiations. He successfully, in quotes, largely made progress in Northern Ireland
right.
that seemed hopeless before.
Right.
He has diplomatic and conflict resolution experience and is someone in good standing with a 15-year record as a senator.
Right. And the point here, though, is his job is Middle East envoy. It's not overseeing...
No, special Middle East envoy.
I apologize.
Sorry.
I apologize for cutting him short.
But it's
not overseeing other shit. His job is literally leave the rest of the shit alone
what you can do on this
exactly.
issue that you already had experience in
exactly.
2001 and probably have a lot of connections
right.
in that world. You know,
right.
a lot of people who would be
of
more
course.
Willing to talk to you than other people.
Agreed.
It's someone who is easy to plug into that role. I don't know. I don't fucking know.
No.
don't know what to do with this. Like, cause if he was able to be in that role and there were ethics rules in place about like, nothing you do can in any way touch any business that you have lobbied for.
Right.
I'd be fine with that. Cause it's unrelated to big tobacco
right.
manufacturing interest and insurance.
Exactly.
You're like, I don't know.
No, it's like if Jimmy Carter gives up a peanut farm, because he's worried about ethics issues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm fine. Mm-hmm. There's a line.
Yeah.
And that's when you have a shit ton of hotels that are making a lot more money because you're the president and people want to stay there in order to get good graces.
A bunch
with
of
you.
Special interest groups do tours and
yeah.
Stay in your hotel.
Yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that might be a line.
Yeah, but see, that's
the thing that'll never happen.
See, that's the thing that I'm not saying you're wrong to bring that up because it's fucking super relevant.
Oh yeah.
But that was kind of one of the things that I had hoped we would avoid because it feels like whataboutism. I know it's not.
I know it's not. Yeah, I agree with you.
It is just a situation where it's like, well, here's a clear cut example of like what's going on now, which is exactly the opposite of what you're saying.
Right.
But it does feel like we are trying to, and we're not, but it could appear or someone could hear it as us being like, well, let's let Obama off the hook because here's what Trump did.
Right.
And that is in no way our interest. And I'm not saying that. I only want to The only reason that that's important to bring up at all and is relevant in any way is to highlight the level to which Alex Jones has given up on any principles he ever pretended to have.
Absolutely.
Because those principles didn't exist even here.
Right.
He's complaining about stuff for points. He doesn't really care about that.
Right.
Because if he did, he could never be what he is now.
Right.
So I'm reticent to like, because I could have brought up Trump a whole lot of other times.
Oh, no. Don't worry about it. Well, yeah. I'm trying to minimize it.
Yeah,
because what's the point?
Right.
The difference between like, okay, if we still lived in the 2009 world of Obama.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, well, George Bush appointed this guy who has a history of blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, what about blah, 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 you know, that whole thing. That's whataboutism. That's a situation where we're talking about equivalent whiffs of corruption.
Or
right now, we're talking about Obama's administration starting out with a whiff of corruption,
mm-hmm.
and Trump's administration farting corruption into your goddamn face.
Or
you know,
or if I heard this,
that's not whataboutism.
Or the bad version of what we could do would be hear Alex complain about George Mitchell. And then be like, well, Trump did this, and then
fuck that,
and not address George Mitchell, and pretend he wasn't a lobbyist,
right?
Like But what we're doing is like saying, no, that's real.
Here's the context
that's
for
real.
That's
real. This is why it's complicated.
Yeah,
not saying it's the right decision, but it's not as easy as you're presenting it, Alex.
Right.
Now, also, you are totally fine with. All this other
Ben
bullshit.
Carson as housing development.
Right.
Yeah.
So here.
Is he really still doing that?
Yeah.
He's allowed
flies
to.
Flies under the radar.
He's really bad at it.
Flies
everything,
under the radar.
Everything I've ever read about what he's done so far, garbage.
Turns out.
It's almost like he is uniquely unqualified for the position.
Turns out the society at large views the housing and urban development as a non-crisis thing. So they just don't pay attention to it.
Jesus.
Ma'am. Anyway,
it's nice to know that our major crises are so bad they are ignoring our minor crises, which are far worse, than anything we've experienced in the past.
Yeah. Anyway, here's who's next.
King of Wall Street lobbyist Leon Panetta to head up the CIA.
Was he elected?
Leon Panetta has never been a lobbyist.
Was he the king of lobbyists?
He's not the king of Wall Street lobbyists, as Alex calls him. He's made a killing, though, in consulting work and giving expensive speeches that are all probably totally above board and ethical.
But sure.
He's technically not a lobbyist. He's never been a lobbyist. All the articles you can find about Panetta describe his actions as, quote, activity that pretty closely approximates lobbying. But it's not lobbying. He's not a lobbyist. All of the things, and maybe he fucking is, and he's really good at hiding it. I don't know, but he's not a lobbyist. Technically speaking, he is not a lobbyist. The money that he's made have been through consulting and speeches and that sort of thing. Doesn't change, this is nonsense.
Yeah.
Including Leon Panetta in here is...
Let's judge him by his record. He's a piece of shit.
Yes.
But not in the way that you say he is.
Yeah. And he's not the king of Wall Street lobbyists.
How do you become king of Wall Street lobbyists?
Well, you gotta kill the previous king.
Is that how that works?
Absolutely.
This is Game of Thrones.
You gotta
situation.
Be the Kingslayer.
Gotcha. Yeah, gotcha.
You gotta be the Jaime Lannister of, there's a mad lobbyist. Who's out of control.
Yep. He's set, the New York Federal Reserve ablaze.
Yes.
In order
absolutely.
To protect
with
against
wildfire.
Yep. Absolutely.
And, yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Oh, dude.
Oh, what?
I'm going to date this. This sucks, because when this episode comes out, it's going to be like a week in the past. But did you hear about Jack Posobiec?
Okay. No, I didn't hear about Jack Posobiec.
Holy
I'm
shit.
Not allowed to know anything about this fucking universe.
Our friend, our dear, dear friend, Jack Posobiec, Pizzagate
yes.
weirdo and definite Nazi.
Yeah.
It turns out people dug into some of his past and found on the Wayback Machine a page that he thought he had deleted. And it turns out he used to write Game of Thrones fan fiction.
Oh, hell yeah.
With Donald Trump as a character.
Oh, hell no.
And one of the
oh, my God, find finally we get to hear what it would be like for Donald to fuck his daughter. That's totally fine in Game of Thrones fanfic.
Well, the
oh no,
the one that went around was a story about Donald Trump falling in love with Sansa as she was a teen.
Sounds very
gross.
Yeah,
very gross. But anyway,
that's a little bit too on the nose there, Pasovic.
Yeah, let's see who's next.
Obama tapped Tom Daschle, top lobbyist for healthcare firms, to run the Department of Health and Human Services.
Are these action figures?
The list goes on and on.
The list goes on and on, but Alex rushed this documentary. Like I said, Obama nominated Daschle, but then it came out that Daschle hadn't filed his taxes correctly, and he might have misfiled some deductions in his past. So, on February 3rd, 2009, Daschle withdrew his name from consideration for Secretary of Health and Human Services and was replaced by Catherine Sebelius. This is embarrassing for Alex. Like, he has every reason to know this based on when he's making the documentary, when it came out, yet he kept this in. Why would he keep this in? By the time he released this, it was a month past when Daschle took his name out of consideration.
It's already
in. He's acting as if that he made it even to the confirmation process.
Dan, the footage plays.
No, because he the made this animation.
Plays. It's awful.
It's 100%.
This is really
the
bad.
Animation is terrible, but he clearly paid through the nose for it. And
well, yeah, you gotta, look, it plays.
Yeah.
Listen.
He's like,
print the legend, Dan.
God damn it. I'm not going to pay for you to reanimate Catherine Sebelius. God damn it. What the fuck? Rob, dude, get over here. Gotta.
That would really fuck up his day if he animated Catherine Sebelius.
Starts hitting Rob, dude, to take some energy out.
Ooh, that sounds too close to home.
Yeah. So anyway, Tom Daschle was never a part of the Obama administration.
No.
So this is real fun. Yes, he was nominated. And yeah, sure. He did have, some links to lobbying, but
totally
he didn't make it in.
Goodbye.
And never would have passed the confirmation process.
Goodbye.
Bye bye.
Then 3 weeks into his administration, Obama launched a new lie, more outrageous than the previous, with Academy Award level conviction. He said that he was upset about the banker bailout, which his own chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, another former Wall Street executive, had engineered.
So I can't find any evidence that Rahm in any way wrote the 2008 bailout bill or had any meaningful involvement in its passage outside of, like, he was a member of the House before. But, like, I don't know. There's not even any articles on InfoWars. Like, I searched through all of InfoWars, like, looking for Rahm articles and stuff like that. There's no evidence of this anywhere. So I just assume it's bullshit. And especially considering earlier in the documentary, they said it was Larry Summers and Alan Greenspan who did it.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't understand all of them, all three of them together. What's going on?
Throw him in there.
This is one of these.
What else you got?
This is one of these things that's super essential.
Name another guy.
Borat.
He did it.
My wife's pension fund is empty.
Nope.
So, there's this thing that's really important to understand, and it's what Alex Jones and Webster Tarpley and all of these assholes do. It's the way they do their propaganda. What they do is they make an extravagant, unsupported, sensational claim. They don't prove it. And then you're like, no. And then they're like, prove me wrong.
Right.
You can't play that game.
Right.
That game is a losing game because, like, no, I don't have to prove that. Now it's your job to prove that Rahm wrote the fucking 2008 bailout bill or he was deeply involved in it.
Prove
what you, cause you're the one who made the claim. I can't be expected to prove a negative because then all I can do, the only way I'm going to ever satisfy this is like, I find Rahm and I'm like, give me a detailed accounting
Dan,
of literally everything you did in 2008 or Alex Jones is right.
Dan,
and that's
centaurs
no way to
invented astronomy and you can't convince me otherwise.
Look.
Prove it.
All right. I guess I can't. I don't bend to that kind of pressure. Like, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of people, they would hear this, like, Rahm did the bailout. And then you'd be like, I don't know that to be true. I don't think that's true. Now it's be like, prove me wrong.
Show
me how he didn't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Show me that he didn't do that.
I have HR 11001111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111
I guess he knows what he's talking about.
I guess
I don't caught into that bullshit. Yeah. I don't care. Like, I will say this. if you prove to me in any way that this is true, I'll revise my position. But until then, I'm not going to spend my fucking life trying to disprove a position that history denies. You know, like it's not worth it.
Right.
There's so many things like that. It's so deeply frustrating.
No, oh, Dan.
You can't prove a negative.
Dan, someday I'm going to have to teach you about religion.
Obama said that he had signed an executive order capping the CEO salaries of those who had taken the bailout money.
He didn't sign an executive order. That was just part of the rules of the bailout bill.
Yeah, that wasn't
there was
an executive
just two
order.
Problems. All the major banks and brokerage firms were exempt, and the new order only dealt with any future bailouts. And those were to be on the honor system.
This isn't fair.
What gets people upset, and rightfully so, are executives being rewarded for failure.
I want to respond to all this, but I really don't care because something's about to happen in this documentary that makes me so fucking happy.
Okay.
So I'm just going right. I'm going to leave
Pat,
this aside.
Punt.
Yeah, I'm going to leave this aside because
assume you're lying, you fucking piece of shit.
Alex is being deeply unfair about a lot of these groups that even by the end of 2009 were already starting to pay back the bailout funds.
Yeah.
Like it's just nonsense.
Right.
Look, nothing went perfectly, but nothing went as bad as he says.
Right.
IG, Bank of America, and Citigroup, which have received billions in bailout money, don't fall under this plan. Only banks negotiating future agreements with the government will be restricted. But this appears to be built on an honor system, and White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs had a hard time explaining...
Gibby.
I remember you.
From the plane.
You fucking idiot.
I will get clarification from Treasury on that.
Generally speaking... This is already the biggest liar and the biggest disappointment that we've seen in recent history. And again,
2 months
qualitatively
in.
Beyond
at best.
2 months in.
At best.
Set by
this could
Bush
be
the Elder
2 days later.
In terms
okay.
of delivering on promises.
Bottom line.
I got to be honest. It doesn't matter any of this stuff. Like what I'm telling you, something's about to happen in this documentary that changes the fucking game.
Okay.
I'm so excited about
all
this.
Right.
Obama is a fantastic.
So this is our mid game, if
and
you will.
An even better liar. His track record is clear. He has done the opposite of everything he told the people he would do.
For 3 weeks.
They'll make up one lie after another. And if you believe these people, knock yourself out. I don't believe a word they say.
Get their asses, Salenti. I love the delivery. I love it. I love it so... That's not what I was talking about, but
I love
that delivery.
Oh,
I know. If you believe these guys...
Get the fuck out of here!
Within 1 month of the passage of the first banker bailout bill, the press reported that over $5 trillion had just disappeared out of the U.S. Treasury.
That's not true.
Holy shit. What?
That's not true.
How could you even make that claim?
That's absolutely
that's
not
such
true.
An insane amount of money to pretend disappeared.
That's absolutely not true, but the specifics of it Alex will get into a little bit further down the road, so
like,
we'll
like
deal with it.
Like billions of dollars disappeared in Iraq.
Right.
Like, yeah, I get that.
Short.
$5 trillion is enough to bankrupt all of us.
Short version of what he's talking about, just like to give a little bit of a context. I promise we'll get more into it, but he's conflating the bailout $700 billion with funds that were lent by the Federal Reserve to other banks.
Gotcha.
So there's trillions of dollars that are being
lent by
the Federal Reserve, and he's pretending that money just went missing when it didn't.
No.
It's not.
Of course not. What?
By December, the amount of money that had been stolen had reached $8.5 trillion. The leadership of both political parties circled the wagons and would not discuss where the money had...
Yet he says both political parties, yet only shows the Democrats.
Ed,
only
Nancy.
Shows Pelosi, Rahm Emanuel back there, a couple other ding-dongs.
Barney Frank.
Yep.
Gone.
In the bed!
You're not close to ready for what's about to happen to
there
you.
There are at least 40 people now screaming, end the
There's
bed.
Like 300 people here probably. I'm being probably generous.
Yeah, you're being way generous.
But Alex is in the middle of it with Tyranny Crusher 7.
Tyranny Crusher 7.0!
And man, get, like, buckle your fucking
dude,
seat.
Dude, you have been teasing this for like 4 minutes of this documentary, which is 8 hours in real
time. Informed Americans protested the private Federal Reserve system at all 38 of their regional governorship offices.
Arrest Bernanke and Paulson!
Get up!
The criminals that stole the banker bailout money.
Hey,
It was refreshing to see people standing up against the real power structure, not...
That sounds like something Alex wrote in his goddamn diary.
Yeah,
it was refreshing to see the people.
Oh, man. Oh, based on this, I bet he fucking loved Occupy Wall Street, right?
Being distracted by the elite's front men like George W. Bush and Barack Obama. We traveled to Dallas, Texas to cover We the People taking on enemy.
No.
Hey, I want to talk to the workers up there on the parapet. The ones smoking cigarettes and just jump back. You're with the American people, we know that. But understand, ask the workers inside. You're not in a federal government building. You're in a private Federal Reserve that uses that name as a fraud.
So we've already been over that, which is fun to hear him yelling into a bullhorn at a couple of people working on the top of a building.
It's nice.
Who are
also
laughing at him. They're laughing at him.
This is a different bullhorn, by the way.
That's Tyranny Crusher 8.
Like if my first name was Federal Reserve Jones.
What?
I'm still not the federal government.
What?
I'm not a federal agency. But if I said my name was Federal Reserve, I could go out and pay off politicians.
I understand why
you are making sense, sir, and I would like you to continue talking, please. 100% more.
I understand why he thought the KRS-One was making sense at the beginning of this documentary. If he's like, if my name was Federal Reserve Jones,
if my name was Federal Reserve, they'd give me all their money, right?
Get them to allow me to get into power, so I could issue the currency and credit, and then I could buy up the world. That's what these criminals have done.
A lot of people think that the Federal Reserve is already part of the government. They're not. It's controlled by cliques of unelected, unaccountable bankers meeting in secret. Most of these people have never even been through the formality of a Senate hearing.
Here's me doing the gif of a jack-off motion.
There you go.
Or a Senate confirmation. They claim that they're part of the U.S. Government. They masquerade
as
part of the U.S. government. But
I like that you strongly waded into the GIF v. GIF arguments.
I have very firm positions on this.
With no recognition that you are stepping in there, coming out hot!
Operation, jackals, hyenas, raptors, all of them loyal.
Raptors!
Not to the American people, but to the Wall Street banks, which is where most of them come from.
Who has chocolate?
To Barack right now, President Obama, as saying, you gotta get the economy together. You gotta get the economy together. When in fact, the president has very little to do with the economy. It's the Federal Reserve Chairman.
Who is installed and nominated by the President of the United States. What the fuck is he talking about? This is nonsense. They serve a term, and then, hey, guess what? After that, the president...
That at least sets the policy. That's a privately owned company.
No, it's not.
The Federal Reserve Bank. They set the agenda.
These guys are masquerading as a federal institution. They are a private banking consortium.
Oh, that's Brad Stevens, coach of the Celtics.
The Federal Reserve is not federal. It's a front for a private banking cartel. That's on record congressional testimony. And they're the ones orchestrating the economic collapse we're seeing right now. So that's why we're here.
Cool. While at the End the Fed rally outside the Federal Reserve Bank in Dallas, Texas, we spoke with Ron Paul's brother, Wayne Paul.
Oh, no.
Folks, I am so sorry that that's where we're cutting it off, but look, here's the deal. We're about to jump off into a section of this documentary that I have been teasing the last couple minutes that you've just been listening to quite a bit, and it turns into a long discussion of how stupid the Paul family is, and if I'd left that in, this would have just been too long of an episode, but now you know from the end of this episode that we're about to learn about Wayne Paul. And that, you know what, there's very few times on this podcast that I'm actually able to do a cliffhanger. And so I'm going to make the most of it. And you know what? Tomorrow, next episode, Thursday, it's Thanksgiving. What better way to celebrate Thanksgiving than to learn about just how off base Ron Paul's brother is. Anyway, you got that to look forward to tomorrow. I hope you enjoyed today. There was a little bit of wishy-washiness in this episode, but hey, you know, that's how history is sometimes. Until next time, we do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com. You can follow us on Twitter. It's at @knowledge_fight. You can follow us on Facebook. We also have a group on there called Go Home and Tell Your Mother You're Brilliant. It is a private group for no reason, really, but we let people in. So if you'd like to be a part of the fan community, just send a request and we'll let you in. Also, we are on iTunes. You can follow, subscribe, leave a review. That sort of thing is all very much appreciated. Hey, until next time, you know what? I realized on the last episode that I talked about, here at the end, I talked about Survivor Series, the WWE pay-per-view. I didn't feel right about it when I was editing this together, putting out the episode. I realized that much better than Survivor Series probably was NXT's War Games on Saturday night. And that featured probably someone who you think might have killed somebody, and that is the great Aleister Black. For a wrestler, Aleister Black kicks people really hard to the face, but has not killed anybody with his black mask kicked to the face. Has not killed anybody, but there's one guy that I know of who technically probably killed a dude, and that's Alex Jones.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.